For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Live people, we also stream, so if you're on live stream, that's cool, just stay there. But if you're on Facebook Live, Rod will be coming before the service, after the service, and dialoguing with you live. In fact, he's actually preaching in Vegas today, but he'll still be live with you. Adam will be on Facebook Live during the sermon. So we're always doing new things, so if you're out there and you want to watch on Facebook Live, it should be a lot of fun. You can make comments, we like feedback, and that's that. Now, I'm notorious for this. I changed my sermon this morning at 5:30. Woke up and changed it. Now, it's not because I didn't like that sermon, because I'm going to do that sermon next week. But God's been bugging me with something, and I haven't wanted to do it, but I have to do it. And hold on to your chair. Next week, you're going to learn some new stuff. This week, you might not learn any new stuff, but you're going to be convicted. You know what I want to talk about? The tongue. The tongue. You know why? I need this sermon, and I'm going to let you listen in. So I'm preaching to myself. Young Teddy Roosevelt, when he was a boy, his mother could not drag him to church. He was terrified. She couldn't get him to go to church. And she began to probe, what is it? What is it? What is it? Finally, he said, it's that animal that lives in the corner in the back of the church. She said, animal? He said, yes. He said, that zeal animal. Said, zeal animal. She just couldn't get it out of him. And so she started looking at every verse with zeal in it. And finally, it dawned on her. The pastor a few months earlier had quoted the verse that the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. And those words scared him so bad, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up, that he didn't want to go to church. Now, I want you to know that words are so powerful. Gosh, they're so powerful. One or two sentences can change your life overnight. For example, give me all your money, I have a gun. Yeah, that's change your life substantially. Even if it's a joke, it could change your life. You're one hot chick. She's married to some big jealous guy. That might change your life a lot. A lot. You're ugly. I don't like you. You're the best. Will you marry me? That'll change your life. I love you so much. I forgive you. Watch this. I'll try anything once. Call me anytime, day or night. That can change your life. You need Jesus. You blankety, blankety, blank. Oh, that's how I ended up in the hospital. What did I say to that guy? I was stopped in Ventura this week. I was over there for a couple days. Two guys fighting in the road. They were fighting in the middle of the street. I'm sure one person mouthed off to the other one. And that's what happens. Years ago, the Moody Church News carried a very humorous story. A lady was a small town gossip, and she was one day on vacation in Chicago, and she visited the Chicago Daily News office. She was wearing a white dress, and what she didn't realize is inadvertently she leaned up against a freshly printed page of the Chicago Daily News. And it got on her back. It was a very humid day. It got on her back. And so she was walking down the street. She heard a lot of people snickering behind her. And she couldn't figure out why. She was going to meet her husband. And so when she met her husband, she turned around and says, is there anything on my back that shouldn't be there? And her husband, you know, knowing all about her, he saw in large print on her back, and it was in reversed letters, it said the Daily News. And he said, no, there's nothing on your back that shouldn't be there. Ouch. Let's talk briefly about areas of speech we need to give attention to. And Let's get ready for this. We'll get six or seven areas. The first one is this. We need to refuse to use words as a weapon. Look at Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. Look at 29:11. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. You know, even the nations around the world have weapons that are banned that you can't use. And one of those weapons is called a dirty bomb. You can't use dirty bombs. You know what? I'm telling you, we have to get a hold of our lips and our mouth and our words. And you married couples, even when you argue, there has to be boundaries. There has to be certain weapons that you will not use under any circumstance. And one is the D word, the divorce word. That should never be used. Once you're married, you said, I do, you done did, and you're done for life do you part, death do you part. That's even better. Personal insults, put downs, none of that should be done. If you're ever in an argument and your spouse or whoever you're arguing with starts resorting to those things, you ought to stop all conversation and go, time out. We're going to pray and do this over at another time. We have broken the rules. We've used the D word. We've used put downs. We've insulted. It's just ridiculous to do that. Ugly, useless, stupid. Just walk away and say, hey, that's not the rules of the game. We don't do that. A illustration on rejection I did not use in the last two sermons. A young lady was talking to her pastor, and they were conversing about how she loved to write for people. She liked to write articles for people and books for people. That was her gift. And as she spoke, the pastor said, well, there's a lady in the church that needs someone to write a book for her, and why don't I give you a referral? And he did. And so the lady asked this young lady, said, would you come to my house on a certain date? I'm having a social party there, and we can talk. And so she got in her car, drove over there. Before she went, she thought, I don't know, you know, I know this lady's very rich. She lives in a very gated area in like a $4 million home. And she said, how shall I dress? And she tried to find the appropriate dress. And when she got there, she knocked on the door. And the lady answered the door and said, oh, hi, how are you? I'm so-and-so. Okay, she says, sweetie, is that your little Honda out there? Could you park it down the road a little ways? That's the first thing she said. And then she went in and she said, I felt so uncomfortable. No one would talk to me. They wouldn't speak to me. I found out quickly that I was underdressed. And she said, I sat there very awkwardly through the whole meeting. And when it ended, I kind of hung around and I was treated very rudely. No one spoke to me. They just ignored me. And she said, finally, I just left and I felt about this high. She said, a couple days later, I received a letter from the lady, a little card, and it says, I appreciate you dropping by. But obviously, you're not used to the kind of people that I hang with and hang out with and socialize with. And so obviously, you cannot write a book for me. She said, but thanks for coming by anyway. I hope you got something out of the meeting. And ouch, ouch, ouch. Now, and she said, thank you. She used all the nice words, but she just cut that poor little girl to ribbons. Made her think that she was worthless. She didn't drive the right kind of car. She wasn't at the right social level to be with them. Now, those kinds of things hurt and they stay with us. They feel like you've been stabbed with a knife. See, some people can be cruel, and sometimes you do it and don't even realize you're doing it. For years, I'm a very outgoing person. I'm a very type A person. And for a while, you know, I speak my mind. I was raised that way in an Italian family. They just said whatever, whenever. And I've had to really remind myself many, many times that I have to stop and try to pray and think about what I'm saying. Someone put on my Facebook that nail illustration that maybe a lot of you have heard, that a little boy had a problem with lying. And his dad one day, being a very wise man, said, I want you to do this. He was not lying, he was losing his temper, I'm sorry. And he lost his temper all the time. His dad said, here's the deal, here's what I want you to do. He said, every time you lose your temper, I want you to go out, I got a bucket of nails and a hammer out there, and I want you to hammer a nail into the fence. And so the little boy said, okay, Dad, I'll do it. And the first week, I think he hammered 37 nails into the fence. And so pretty soon he got kind of tired of hammering those nails in the fence. So one day he went to his dad and he said, "Dad, I didn't lose my temper all day today." He said, "Okay, then what I want you to do is go take a nail out of the fence. Every day that you do not lose your temper, you go take a nail out of the fence." So finally, weeks went by, and finally one day he took the very last nail out of the fence. He said, "Dad, I got them all out." His dad says, "That is great, son. I'm so proud of you. But come outside. I want to show you something." He said, "Look at all the holes in the fence." He said, "That fence will never again be the same, will it?" He said, "No." He said, "That's the same way when you lose your temper." He says, "The people that you hurt, you just can't take it back." And the boy got the object lesson. So we need to use our tongues not as a weapon. Use them to build people up. Let's look at the second one. About this one, but don't gossip. Don't need to say a lot because I referenced this in a sermon a few weeks ago. Remember about Joseph and Mary around Christmas time? You know, God came down and gave Mary this immaculate conception. And you know the tongues started wagging. Man, they started going to town. I mean, you know, the town people had to talk. They had to think, "You know what? Did you hear about Mary? I think she's sleeping around. She got pregnant. I think somebody said she told Joseph that it was God who impregnated her." "Yeah, right. That little trampy girl, she ought to be ashamed of herself. And that young man, Joseph, I mean, goodness gracious, is he that naive? Is he that naive that he doesn't see what's happening? Why doesn't he dump her?" And they went on and on and on. None of it was true. Not a stitch of it. See, even if it was true, gossip is still wrong. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. Remember I gave you an acrostic last week? I'll give it to you again. Think. Think before you talk. Think. The T, is it true? The H, is it helpful? The I, is it inspiring? The N, is it necessary? And the K is kind. I'll repeat those again. The T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Look at Proverbs 10:18. It says, "He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is what?" What is he? He's a fool. Look at Proverbs 16:28. It says, "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slander separates intimate friends." How many of you, has anybody ever lost a friend because they gossiped about you? Yeah, that hurts. Look at 17:9. It says, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." Someone said, "Gossip is simply making a mountain out of a molehill by adding a little bit of dirt." That's what it is. Listen up, gang. If you listen to gossip, you're as guilty as the one sharing it. Ouch. If you listen to gossip, you're as guilty as the one sharing it. There was a church back in New York I was reading about this week, and the pastor said, "Every new member that comes here, we tell them, we don't gossip in this church. We don't slander people. We don't speak badly about people. So we're going to tell you right now, if you have something bad to say about the pastor or any of the pastors, you have something bad to say about the choir members or anybody else, we're going to go straight to them. We're not going to talk, but we'll go straight to them, and we'll hit this thing head on." And that's the way it should be. And if they did something wrong, they'll apologize. Wouldn't that be great if we had that rule here? I've always said that when you hear something bad about somebody, you either forget it or you go to the person and hear the other side of the story. Because there's always two sides of a story. And then also keep in mind, people that gossip to you will gossip about you. For sure. It's really cruel. A lot of us know this firsthandedly. Anybody ever did anything stupid? Really, is you're embarrassed about stupid? Anybody? Good. All of you, about eight of you, and I'm going to put you in the ministry because you've never done anything stupid. But we all have. Have you done things that you're embarrassed about? When you look back, you go, "Ooh, did I really do that?" Anybody? Yeah. Me, anybody's like me? I'm not alone, am I? And you went to God and you said, "Oh God, how foolish was I? Forgive me. I am so sorry." We, even some of us, have cried over these things going, "God," for days we've went around moping going, "I got to get over this. I feel so bad about it." And then we finally get God to God forgives us right away. But we finally, you know, get it into our mind that God has forgiven us. It may take us 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years to get over it. And then somebody goes talking about you. and they bring it up. That is like the most cruel thing you can do. You don't know people's hearts. Yes, they did something wrong. Maybe it was very, very wrong, but we're not the judge, right? It's God. Aren't you glad we're not the judge? He's the judge. Let it go. Do not say bad things, and don't say anything about anybody that you wouldn't say to their face. If you're going to say it about them, say it to their face, or don't say it at all. Why do we gossip? Why? Have you ever thought about it? Maybe we like to be the life of the party. Maybe we like attention. Maybe we like the high from all this juicy stuff. Or maybe we just don't know, have anything else to talk about. We're dumb. I mean, learn something about sports or the political arena or whatever. Let's make a commitment to be a gossip buster. You know, the next time, let's all work on this. Gang, believe me, I'm not up here saying I have this mastered. The tongue is a constant struggle with me because I talk so much. You won't believe times I'll go home and I'll go, did I say that in my sermon? Oh, man. I'll call the guys, can you edit that thing, get it off the internet, whatever. I've taken whole sermons off before because I didn't like one sentence I said. I said, get the whole thing off. Usually that's not the case, but sometimes it is. I try to get prayed up and come in here and know what I'm doing. But you know what? Let's work on this. Let's really work on this. Next time someone starts gossiping to us, let's stop them in the mid-sentence and say, whoa, can you just tell me the gist of it? Well, John left his wife. Okay, let's stop right there. Let's pray right now. Father God, I pray for John right now that you would help this man understand that what he did was wrong and bring him to repentance so we'll have a God story. And his wife, God comfort her, send angels with her. Da-da-da-da, amen. If you do that, God will be giving you high fives from heaven. He will be so excited. He will actually bless you over that. And Ventura was doing a Bible study Tuesday night, and we were in 2 Corinthians 1 and 12. And Paul told the people, he said, when I was with you, I want you to know, I handle myself in sincerity, in holiness, and I had a good conscience among you. And he said, I lived with my conscience. Now, some of us, our conscience has got lazy on us. We need to pray and ask God this week, God, please, you know, refreshen my conscience. We need to live according to our conscience. Now, here's the way you know if you're living according to your conscience. You'll be doing a lot of apologizing. I probably apologize an average 3 to 10 times a month. I had to apologize when I came out here, right before I came out here, because I came in, I was in a rush, somebody handed me something, I just kind of grabbed it out of their hand, and I went back and said, I'm so sorry. We have to. If you're living according to your conscience, you will be apologizing. I guarantee you. It's a telltale sign that you're walking according to your conscience. Harriet was a church gossip, and I don't know why it's always the women, huh? All these stories are women, I know. Guys do it too, but Harriet was. She was a church gossip, and she saw Harold's truck parked in front of a bar several nights. And boy, she started it. Now, what she didn't know is Harold lived close to the bar, and when his apartment complex, the parking was filled up, he'd have to park in front of the bar. So she started rumors. I think Harold's a drinker. He's drinking. He's a party animal, and I don't know if he should be on the board, and da-da-da. And Harold heard about it. And so you know what he did? He just started moving his car and he parked in front of her house every other night. One for Harold. Yes, Harold. Kudos, my friend. Kudos. Number three, we need to use clean words. Clean words. How many of you, when you were small, ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Ho, that's quite a few, you little dirty mouth people. You, there was a lot of people. Can I say something at the risk of offending a lot of people, especially millennials maybe? I wish we still did that. A little bit of soap in the mouth isn't going to kill anybody. And you know what? It's an object lesson, right? If we use bad words, they washed our mouth out with soap. I wouldn't use a lot. I just get a little bit and dab it on their tongue. You know, I don't know, but I think it's a great thing. I'm so sick of this political correct stuff. It just makes me want to gag. I'm telling you. And you want to know why our country's going to the dogs? Because we're leaving some of this stuff. Listen to me closely. Christians shouldn't cuss. There's no excuse for a Christian ever cussing. You say, really? Really? Show me a specific verse, specific verse. Well, there's verses. I told you a while back I was in a situation and I wanted to pray about it, and it was with someone that did cuss. Anyway, I raised my Bible, God, I need to hear from you, and it fell open to Ephesians 4, which talks about obscenities and profanities, said it cannot even be named among you. We have the word in Ephesians where it says, you know, that we're only to speak words for edification. But I want a specific verse. I want a specific verse. Well, do you have to have a specific verse for everybody? You know, you're not supposed to urinate in the streets, and I can't show you a verse on that, and if you do it, that's pretty bad. Passing gas in church, I can't show you a verse. picking your nose in public, I can't show you a verse. Cussing's as bad as all that. To me, I put in the same boat for a Christian. You say, why shouldn't I cuss? Number one, it's offensive to a lot of people, including me. Have you ever been somewhere? I have. And I've asked somebody, say, hey, could you kind of watch your mouth? Got some kids here. Have you ever done that? I've done it. Just kind of clean it up. You know, I mean, this guy was pretty high up in the church, was arguing with me one day. He says, Pastor Ron, you just don't get it. The F word is, it's in now. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal if Christians use the F word. I said, you've got to be kidding me. So if I ended my sermon and say, wasn't that an effing good sermon today? You'd have no problem with that. No problem with it. This church would be half full next week, maybe a quarter full if I did that. If I read my Bible right, every word a Christian says the goal should be that it edifies, that it builds up. When we cuss as a habit, we're not using the language part of our brain. We're not using that part. And what's the old saying? If you don't use it, you lose it. When you habitually cuss, that's what's going to happen. See, expressing yourself when you're emotionally up in the air is a skill. And it's a skill that we need practice at. I'm a real believer in word pictures. I communicate a lot, and I like to use word pictures. If you've been to any marriage retreats, there's one or two that I've used a lot. But for example, if a lady feels that her husband is always putting her down and making fun of her, putting her down, instead of saying, you blankety blank, you know, I'll tell you what, blankety blank, shut your mouth, you know. If she just sounded the word picture, and maybe use this one that I've used many times, say, you know what, can I talk to you? You know how bad you hurt me? And you know how bad it makes me to feel when you put me down in front of other people? You know what I feel like? That bullfighter in that bull in that arena, I feel like I'm the bull. And you wave your little flag, you set me up, and you go, ole! And everybody laughs, and they cheer. Then you put it over here, and I go for it, and you, ole! And everybody laughs and cheers. So that's what you're doing to me. I feel just like that bull. I feel like everybody's laughing at me, and you're having fun. You're getting a lot of attention, but that really hurts. Now, see, that gets a whole lot across more than cussing. You go, wow, really? Articulating yourself takes practice. I was in Whole Foods about a year or two ago, and I just got the best of me. You know, I like to eat in Whole Foods. I was in Las Vegas, and a guy was grazing. Do you know what grazing is? Makes me so mad. Going around, picking some up, eating it, and getting this, and then reach in here and get something else. Finally, I said, sir, excuse me. You're probably not thinking, sir, but this is the cold season, the flu season, and what you're doing really isn't right. And I didn't finish it. He was gone, But I didn't cuss at him, say, you, whatever, you know. But I said, hey, sir, maybe you're not thinking, but that really is not right. That's not healthy, you know. Also, but we got to watch out for substitute words. I don't cuss. You know how many Christians have these corny substitute words? And you're really cussing. You're just using a corny substitute word. They're just as bad. Look at Matthew 12, 36, 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Whoa, did you know that was in the Bible? For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be what? How many of you didn't know that was in the Bible? You're going to account for your cussing. You're going to stand before God. And then, do you know, love you, bless your heart, but when you cuss a lot, do you know people put you in a box, and the first thing they say is, uneducated. That's the first thing they say about you. And nobody wants, and you're all smart people, you don't want that said about you. Well, Pastor Ron, you know, I just don't buy into this. I don't buy into it. I'm just a guy who tells it like it is. Yeah, and you're an idiot too. If you just tell like it is all the time, I'm sorry, I love you. That's a biblical word, idiotis. Get myself out of that jam, huh? But see, your cussing might be hurting you worse than you think. First of all, it'll cause God not to bless you. It'll keep some of his blessings away. Job promotions. Hey, I'm a boss. If I'm out in the second field, I hear you cuss a lot, I'm not gonna put you up. No way. Friends, they won't leave their kids around you, anything else. And it shows no discipline. No discipline at all. If some of you work, I know you have to work people that cuss a lot and stuff and curse a lot. And you know, I don't want you to be more holy than thou. But I heard this years ago. A guy said, I was with somebody that cusses all the time. And I asked him, man, could you not use that language around me? I don't care, blank, blank, blank. So he said, every time he cussed, I said, praise Jesus, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. And every time he said, man, cut that praise out. So I'll cut it out when you cut the cussing out. Every time you say a cuss word, I'm counteracting with praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I love my God. Glory, glory, glory. You're embarrassing me. Well, you're embarrassing me. And so we just got a deal, okay? Every time you cuss, I'm going to counter it out with a praise word. And you can do that. So don't use bad words. The third one's a tough one, telling the truth. Proverbs 6:16-17 says, there are six things which the Lord hates, God hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes and a lying tongue. Proverbs 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is very treacherous. I read about this little kid, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but I thought it was really funny. They said that every time he told a lie, he would get sick of the stomach and vomit. Wouldn't that be cool for some of us if that was still the case? Will you look at that woman right now? No, I, I look like I'm gaining weight. No, you look good. Where were you tonight? I was out with the goo-goo eyes, you know. That would be probably a blessing in disguise, wouldn't it? See, if you lie a lot, you gotta have a great memory. How many times in the past years has somebody left and I look at my wife and I go, that isn't what they said last time. They said, that doesn't make sense, right? You gotta have a really good memory because you don't know what you lied about before and it gets all distorted in your mind and you don't want to lie as a lifestyle. Now, I'm going to tell you truthfully, I just got to confess, this is a hard one, especially when it comes to white lies. It's really hard. I mean, what do you do when someone says, isn't my baby cute? You know, and you don't want to lie. I told you, I'll just go, yeah, looks like his daddy. What do you do, though? Man, Pastor Ron, did I really look stupid in my speech tonight? And you go, you tried hard. That's what I like about you. You know what? Everything you do, you try hard. I mean, how do you not lie? You have to be pretty quick on your feet, huh? What do you think about my haircut? Any kind of hair would look good on you. Any kind of hair. You just got that good-looking face. Pastor Ron, am I dying? And if I know, what do you say? Am I dying? Pastor Ron, am I going to make it? You know what? We can make it through anything with God's help. Amen. Our God can do the impossible. But thing about it is, you really shouldn't lie. And if you lie, you have to ask God to forgive you. I know it's hard. It's like you want to save somebody's feelings and you want to. And sometimes because we're not quick on our feet, we just go, I'm just going to go ahead and lie and then I'll just ask for forgiveness after, you know. Come on, have you never done that? I've done that a few times. Sorry, a white lie is a little one, but I go, yeah, look, you look beautiful. Oh, God, what did I say that for? She looks horrible. The next one, don't talk too much. This is painful, isn't it? A guy's wife thought she broke her jaw, went to the hospital and got an x-ray and came out, and her parents said, well, what did the x-ray show? I said, I don't know, it's a moving picture. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. What? When there are many words, is unavoidable. That's why it says don't covet to do what I'm doing up here, because you say a lot of words and you're gonna say some wrong ones. But he who restrains his lips is what? Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 17:27, he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit, I like that. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. True story, Kondraty, I think it's Ryleyev, was sentenced to be hanged as his part in an unsuccessful uprising against the Russian Tsar, Nicholas I, in December 1825. And old Kondraty, they took him out there to hang him. And when they hung him, the rope broke. He fell to the ground, battered and bruised. Now, normally, that's a pardon when the rope breaks. But for Kondraty, he got up and said, you know what? They can't do anything right in Russia. They can't even make a rope right. The Tsar found out, and he said, well, let's prove him wrong. Give me another rope. Oh, Kondraty, come on. Did you have to say that? He just couldn't keep his mouth shut, could he? And some people, you just go, come on. I've been in counseling appointments before where this marriage is fixing to dissolve. They're going to divorce, and we'll be in this marriage counseling, and we'll get it resolved. And she says, I'm sorry, and cries, and they're good. And then somebody will just keep on talking, and I'll go, man, it's time to shut up and get out of here. There's forgiveness. You know what I mean? They just keep on rattling, keep on talking, keep on talking. I'm telling you, gang, I've regretted so many things I've said in the last 2 years. Is anybody with me? I go home, go to bed, and I go, why'd you say that? Why? I have beat myself up so bad. That's why I had to preach this today. I have beat myself up so bad in the last few years over things I've said, because I'm a hyper-A person, especially if I get caffeined up. See, I come out here without caffeine. If I come out with caffeine, I'm in trouble. We were at a staff meeting up at the ranch a while back, and man, I drank like 4 cups of coffee or tea and stuff. And at 2 a.m, I got charts out, and all the guys are just, they're gone, man. What do you do? What's the solution? Admit your sin to God. I've admitted to him, my tongue, God, just gets out of control. I am so sorry. And asking for help. God, please help me. Believe that he will help you, and apologize a lot until you get it right. Anybody ever heard of Casey Stengel? I'm an old Yankee fan. Casey Stengel was a major league manager for years, and he was known for his wise little epitaphs and words he would say. And one time he said, this was in the Wall Street Journal, I believe, he said he held a position in a California bank. He was on the board of directors, and everybody thought that was amusing because Casey Stengel was really something. But he's on this board at this California board of directors of this California bank. And in the Wall Street Journal, Casey described his duties this way. He said, there ain't nothing to it. You go into a fancy meeting room and you just sit there and never open your yap. He says, as long as you don't say nothing, they don't know if you're smart or dumb. I'm on a bank board right now and I'm taking this right here. I'm gonna sit there and I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut, because they're talking about deep stuff and I don't know what they're talking about sometimes. What does the Bible say that we are to be? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Number 5, use your tongue in a constructive way. In a constructive way. I read about a barbershop in Paris this week. I thought it was so cool. If you own a barbershop, this might be a cool idea. So the barbershop was split into 2 sections. And one section was those who like to talk. One was those who don't like to talk. And the don't like to talk section was subdivided into 4 cubicles labeled sports, generic topics, family problems, and stock market. Isn't that kind of cool? That is really cool. But use your tongue in a constructive way and don't give it time to be used in an unconstructive way. For example, look at Matthew 12, 34, 35. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of what which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what's good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. You need to see that when you want to start working on the tongue, you have to start at the heart level. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you talk a lot and say a lot of things, it just shows your heart. And man, I've done a lot of heart examinations on myself. And I'm working on my heart, change my heart. Use your tongue as a spiritual weapon. Look at Ephesians 6, 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word there is rhema. It's talking about spiritual warfare. It says, man, the sword of the Spirit is your rhemas. When you say, God said this, God said that. In his word, God said, he said, those are weapons of our warfare. See, demons are real entities. You need to talk to them. In Jesus' name, be gone. You spirit of lust, spirit of materialism, you spirit of jealousy, in the name of Jesus, be gone. You need to talk to them. Proverbs 18:21, I heard a commentary on this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Someone did a real study on power there, and it was a real in-depth study, more in-depth than what I wanted to go, but basically they came out with this idea that the word power, which is yod in the Hebrew, it means that the power of God is on your tongue, that when you come into agreement with his word, he makes that thing happen. Very interesting. And I started thinking about it. Look at Isaiah 55 and 11. So will my word which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing or creating what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God says, my word. Now we have his word, right? Sometimes God speaks his word to us. We have his word in the Bible. He says, when you speak my word, when you speak it, it will go out there and it will not return without creating what I wanted to create, without succeeding in the manner for which it was sent. Those are some powerful things, man. When we quote the word of God, we pray the word of God, we give people the word of God. Look at Mark 11, 22, 24. And Jesus answered to say to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, it doesn't say whoever prays about this mountain, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says and keeps on saying is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you receive them, and they'll be granted to you. He says, what you're saying will come about. There's something about, and I know this positive confession thing that went around years ago went a little bit maybe too far. You can't just speak things into existence. You can't have whatever you say you want. But there is something about a positive confession of saying, you know what? I'm sick, but my God will come through for me. He will be here for me. He'll see me through this. And quote the word, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. My God shall meet all of my needs. Stories. I mean, there's stories in the Bible. The lepers outside the gates of Samaria, you might know that story back in 2 Kings chapter 7, and how that God told the prophet of God, he said, tell the people that this time tomorrow I'm going to supply food for them. That's a promise. That's a word that will not come back to me void. And so when the man of God went to tell the king, by this time tomorrow there will be food in the kingdom, the chief officer who was there with the king said, oh, gee, even if God opened the windows of heaven, that'll never happen. He says, you're right. It won't happen for you. It's going to happen, but you won't even see it and you won't taste of it. And the guy got trampled the next day when people were running for food. Lady with the issue of blood said, I know that if I touch his garment, I know if I touch it, that I will be healed. I know I will. I know I will. She was confessing that. When I had cancer, I would walk down the road constantly saying, I shall not die, but I shall live that I might proclaim the words of the Lord. I shall not die. I don't care what the doctors say. I shall live that I might proclaim the words of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that those words alone did that, but I was quoting the words that I felt God had said in my heart. I was giving them substance. I'm out of time. Timely words. Timely words. We got the awful news here this week that one of our young men on staff has a tumor maybe and is in his head. And we're going to bring him over here and lay hands on him after service. And this young man is just, he's a jewel, man, a jewel. And maybe he doesn't even want that out. He might not shed that. I don't know why he doesn't, because he's going to need all the prayers we can get, so I figure. But yesterday, I just was moved, and I said, man, this guy needs a timely word. And I said, where you at, buddy? So I'm up walking around the mall up here at the foot of the bay. I'm just by my, no one's home, and I'm just kind of getting myself together. Gave him a timely word. I said, man, I went to grab my Bible Saturday morning. I said, God, give me a word. Give me a word. I want a word for this boy. Sometimes people just need to hear something. We are a brother's keeper. They need to hear something, okay? And we got to be God's mouthpiece. Prayer, you have not because you ask not. What basis have you covered before you came here today? I'll tell you right now, I've come here. I have angels around all my grandkids. All my kids have angels with them today. My son is anointed in Ventura today. He's preaching an anointed sermon. I've already covered that base. Pastor Jim's, he's off today, but Pastor Rod's preaching an anointed message in Vegas. I've already taken authority over demons that might try to hurt my family. They are done. They are finished. They have no power because I've taken it away from them. I've released angels to be with my kids. I have prayed for open doors for ministry today as I go out into the gym and the restaurant. I've asked for strength over lust, that I would see women the way God sees them. I've asked God to put love in the hearts of my kids for God. What basis have you covered today? Your tongue is to do that. Amen. That's what your tongue is for. And it's to edify people. John, I love you, buddy. I don't talk to you much, but I love you. You know that, huh? Yeah, Bob Bell, appreciate you. I mean, I like that coat you have on it with the fur around there. That's a pretty cool coat. Yes. And a cap. Whoa, rock. Yeah, that cap looks good on you. Lightens you up, buddy. And you just go around and doss it. I love seeing you guys. You don't know that, but every week I look down and see you, I go and tell Debbie, hey, I love these people. See, that's what your tongue's for. Steve, God bless you, buddy. I look around, and some of you I don't even know, but I see you. And we're to use our tongue to edify, to encourage, to take authority over demons. Use it right, don't use it wrong. Let's look at a quick video and I'll come back and end.
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Taylor, hey, it's me, Trevor. I'm outside the concert, wondering where you're at. I think I'm in the right spot, and I think it's already started, and I was... Hello? Hello?
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Hey, your voicemail cut me off. So what I was saying was I'm outside...
Right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Okay, I'll talk faster for whatever reason.
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Funniest thing, it keeps cutting me off.
Can't get on the phone right now.
You're killing me! Hey, I'll talk really, really fast because for whatever reason your little voicemail message thingy keeps cutting me off. Maybe it's because you have a cheap phone. Yeah, I said it. Hey, look, I see the writing on the wall. I am here, you invited me, and I'm standing out here like some dork waiting for you, huh? I got stood up by a buddy. What is that about? This is so you. This is so high school all over again. You get some more important friends, and me, I'm left like some chump. You have bad breath. Has anyone in your life ever told you that? It stinks, and you will not have me, Mr. Trevor, to kick around anymore. Do you hear me? No more, bro!
Mailbox is full.
Full of that.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm late. I tried to call you, but my phone's jacked up. Anyway, the reason I'm late is I ran into this guy who was selling his tickets. You're gonna love this, okay? Get this. box seats, all you can eat food, the best seats in the house. And the best part, my treat. I mean, think about it. You're my best buddy, right? I mean, what better way to say thank you than these? Hang on, I was expecting a call. Just take a minute. Oh, it's a message from you. And another one. And another one.
Have you been there? Unfortunately. Gang, this is a very serious subject. We have to watch our tongues. Take a deep breath before we talk. Think about what you want to say. And keep apologizing until we get it right. I'm determined to get my tongue under control. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you changed my sermon today. Lord, I'll probably never know.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Love.